Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
92.9 ESPN. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't gotta do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. Ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not gonna get no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shots and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Happy tax day. And it is April 15th. Jeffrey, how do you stand on your taxes?
We were actually pretty ahead of the curve this year. I want to say Aaliyah maybe got that done in like January, maybe February.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Aaliyah got that done.
No, it's Jeff. It's the team.
Aaliyah.
The team.
That is just the best.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, as you can imagine, I'm terrible at that kind of thing. Happily, I have a accountant. Gary once referred him to me, Jason Ripper. And he does I don't even open the envelopes as they come in.
Well, just tell me when to sign.
I just bring them over to his house in a big pile and say, please help me through this. And I was reading today about how, you know, there's always occasional move to try to simplify, you know, our tax
system. The tax code, yeah.
Right? And, of course, you know who pushes back on that?
People that are paying
all the tax, mm-hmm. all the tax preparers.
Sure,
they all
accountants. Yeah,
I don't mean like I mean like H&R Block.
Yeah,
right?
Big tax.
They're all lobbying to make it as freaking confusing as possible, so people need their services. Right. So anyway, wherever you are on your taxes, today is
best of luck.
God be with you. Mm-hmm. So today on the radio show, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Dan Devine would normally join us, but he is frantically trying to sum up these NBA series.
With a sick kid.
With a sick kid, which are now set, by the way. So Also, God be with Dan Devine as
he
tries to do all that. So we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. It's a big day today because today is the day when we will, the Grizzlies will be doing their farewell press conferences. Their
breakdown wrap-up, day, baby.
Breakdown press conferences. And this is the day, of course, most famously, when the Grizzlies did this once and J.B. Bickerstaff talked and Chris Wallace talked and all the players talked and everything about the plans for the next year. And as soon as everyone had left the building, they fired them all.
Yep.
So there will be nothing quite so spectacularly newsworthy or deceptive today. But it'll be interesting to see what is said. That actually begins at 10 o'clock, so we occasionally do this. We don't always let you in on it, but we taped Chris. We had to. Chris has got to be there. Chris has got to be there front row asking all the pressing questions. And as the news comes in, if anything is said that is newsworthy, we will bring it to you. But we will also, through the miracle of modern technology, have Chris Harrington here at 10 o'clock. He covered both Grizzlies games this weekend as Drew Hill was off getting married. And so that was a happy event. And I was thrilled to go to that. Well, the best part of the wedding was how happy they both looked.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
that's like, what you want to see.
You want to see that. And I will say, like, my second wedding was wonderful, delightful, fun, mostly because I'm married to, you know, the person I should be married to, and I'm delighted to be married to, and I'm lucky to be married to. But it didn't, like, weddings, particularly the first go-round, can be this place where all the people you love from different corners of life, you know, your high school friends.
Absolutely.
And your friends from later in life, your work colleagues, your parents' friend, like everyone's, your aunt and uncle, your grandmother, like your cousins, everyone's gathered in one place.
Yeah.
It's one of the great things about a wedding. And anyway, that was a delightful weekend. But Chris, it meant
celebrate me.
Chris was doing double duty. Well, celebrate her, really.
Uh-huh.
And Chris was doing double duty. And so he was at the thrilling Lakers game Friday and the less thrilling Nuggets game Sunday. We'll talk about all of that with Chris. We'll talk about that here momentarily. There is a lot of other matters we have to get to as well, including Scottie Scheffler won the Masters. It was uneventful because it was so dominant, right? But even though it was uneventful, because it is such a great player being dominant,
yep.
Like if it had been some random ass player being dominant, right?
Mm-hmm.
You pick him. Who would it be? Who could have won? Who would have been utterly, you know?
Let's say, what about Cam Smith?
Yeah, if Cam Smith had run away with the Masters the way that Scottie Scheffler did, it would have been much less interesting. When you're watching greatness and you're watching really it come, I mean, he was great before this. This is now, I think, his ninth win. It's his second major. Including, you know, he's two majors, two players championships, right?
Yep.
I think that's
right.
He's
the first person to ever win the players back-to-back years.
And the fourth youngest player to ever win two Masters. So when you're watching greatness, like, no one was ever bored watching Tiger Woods run away with golf tournaments. Now, Scottie Scheffler is not Tiger Woods, but he is the most dominant golfer since Tiger Woods.
His numbers right now in this window that we're talking about this last 2 years.
Rival
Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
With that being said, I'm with you.
He's not Tiger Woods right. For all kinds of reasons.
But this is a type of dominance
but
we
dominance
have not seen.
The dominance is Woodsian.
Yes.
And so when you're watching, listen, it was interesting. I thought it was honestly at number 9 where he nearly holes out for eagle.
Good Lord, what a shot.
Right? And then, like, from then on, he was only one stroke up going into number 9. But, and so it wasn't over, but like that shot, it just felt like. And then in the back nine, you know, five.
Well, I mean, the thing that I took note of is they all get tied, and then Scottie birdies 8 and 9, and
right.
Then you watch the rest of them try to, like, oh my god, like I've got to go pedal to the metal,
and they
and
all
just eject.
Come apart. Yeah. So yeah, 5 birdies on the back nine. He is obviously, and now you get to see watching golf, even in its disarray. Which it is still in because of the schism, you get to see what can he do.
Yep.
And can anyone beat him? Like, those are separate questions. Like, what can he amass? What can he accomplish? What is greatness going to look like when it comes to Scottie Scheffler? But then you also have the, you know, hey, can anyone knock him off?
Absolutely. Right?
When you have that player who looms above everybody, it's
what makes golf interesting.
It makes it interesting. It is amazing. Like, wasn't it just yesterday that John Rahm was the best golfer in the world?
Well, I mean, to me, that looked like a guy all last week that was just not happy with
lamenting his decision. Yeah, he finishes 20 shots behind Scottie Scheffler. Rory finished 15 shots back of.
You know what? The thing I was actually disappointed in. It's not that he didn't win, because I told you I made peace with it.
Right,
this is not happening.
Yeah,
we didn't even do our patented like backdoor top 10. Shoot 68 when we're out of it. Like we just kind of whimpered to the finish even yesterday.
Anyway,
Tommy Fleetwood came for the Rory podium there.
So there you go. Grizzlies wrap things up today. They did have an eventful last week, and it is interesting. I got some emails from people who are unhappy with the lineups they have fielded.
Right? Okay.
I got one over the weekend, and I understand that. You know, like a guy wrote me, and he said, come on, man, these people who are hurt aren't hurt. Yeah, Ja's hurt, but most of them aren't hurt. He said, I pay to watch the Grizzlies players play basketball. And I understand that. Like, I do. Like, and people approach all the fandom looks different for everybody, right? I would have been ticked if they had won a bunch of games with players who, meaningless games that ruined their lottery position with players who, or if they had played someone and that player had gotten injured.
Sure.
You know, had suffered further injury. Because I'm in it for next year. It's been a long time coming that we've known that this is all about next year. And given that, given the circumstances, it was a pretty interesting last final weekend. You had an incredibly competitive game against the Lakers, which was, I mean, given the circumstances, like Chris Friday had said, yeah, I'm covering them both. He said, they'll be short. And then he wrote a piece, which you can read over at the Daily Memphian, that's one of the more entertaining games of the season. It was wildly entertaining game. You had the Lakers with their same starting five that they started against the Grizzlies in the playoffs, and the Grizzlies with Jake LaRavia and Gigi Jackson leading the way, and it was hell. It was such a good game that God inserted an extra 106.
Yeah, we didn't even have to go to Buffalo Wild Wings to get overtime. We just got some extra ball.
we got some extra ball. God inserted. The way that worked, by the way, and so the Lakers were leading 93-92 with 1:14 left. Okay? Grizzlies get a shot clock violation. And for whatever reason, the hand of God, it is reset to 2:20. So they insert an extra minute and 6 seconds into the game. If you just look what would have happened at 106, with 106 remaining in this game, because it was an extra 106, who would have been leading at that moment? The Grizzlies. 95-94. Actually, and then they went up 2 seconds later, they then went up 97-94, and you can make an argument that there would have been more urgency, for the Grizzlies, it just didn't matter.
Right.
I mean, a W would have been fun, I guess. For the Grizzlies, it just didn't matter. But it's also true that had you not reset the clock, things would have, we don't know what that alternate universal would have looked like.
Right, how the game plays out.
You never know how the game plays out. People play the game differently depending on the clock, right? So it's very clear that the Grizzlies, like, the clock, it's unclear who benefited from the clock. The whistle, it's very clear the Lakers, and the NBA has said in their two-minute report that there were multiple calls that went against the Grizzlies, including an egregious walk by LeBron James. So the Grizzlies got, but who cares? It doesn't matter. Like, yes, they would have, with a win there, they would have gotten to double digits in home wins. You would have had double-digit streamers as opposed to just 9 home wins in the season. 9. 41 games, 9 home wins. Holy smokes.
It is nice, though, to see clean numbers 9 home wins, 18 road wins, like a nice double on the road.
Double on the road. So anyway, but that was a thrilling game, and you had Gigi with what Taylor Jenkins called his best game of the season, because he played both ways. He was good offensively, he was good defensively. Jake LaRavia continues to reclaim his career from the abyss, so that was fun. And then the Nuggets game yesterday, and I confess I did not watch much of it because I was watching the Masters. I flipped around. I actually watched some hockey yesterday.
Ooh.
And there was some good hockey yesterday. There was a good game between the Avs and the Golden Knights as hockey is winding down as well. And I went to Pilates, all this. So I didn't watch all of that Nuggets game, I'm not going to lie. But Gigi Jackson had 44, a career high. Now, mind you, it was in this exact same game last year when Kenneth Lofton had 42.
Yes.
He's not a Grizzly anymore, I don't believe.
He is not.
No, no. Didn't mean all that much. Gigi's
just maybe picked him up.
Gigi's much more meaningful. He actually had put up numbers over the weekend, did Kenneth Lofton. Gigi Jackson this weekend. Gigi Jackson with 44, that is a career high. He is also the youngest player in NBA history to score 44 points. Whatever. You know how many shots he took to do it? 36. He took 36 shots as the Grizzlies were getting rolled, and Denver just wanted the game to end. They were up by 20 in the third quarter. Jake LaRavia, though, with another 29. This is now 3 straight games of 28 or more. So in a lost season, it was not the worst way to end a lost season. Some numbers from the season. 27-55 is their worst record since 22-60 in 17-18. 9 home wins is the lowest ever in Memphis. The previous low was 14 in 06, 07, and 07, 08, which is kind of amazing. This team, 5 games worse at home, 5 wins worse at home than even any woeful, awful Grizzlies team. So I understand why season ticket holders might be frustrated. They did have 18 road wins, which is 2 more than they had last year. 33 players played, 51 different starting lineups. They are 7th in lottery odds with a 31.9% chance of jumping into the top 4, a 19.8% chance of staying at 7, and a 34.1% chance of slipping to 8. So that is most likely that they will pick 8, but basically a 32% chance jumping into the top 4?
Yeah, I mean, not quite a third, but, you know.
With Elliot Perry on the case?
That's got to bump it up at least 10%.
That gets it to a coin flip.
Yeah.
And no one's better at flipping coins, evidently, than Elliot Perry.
Let's get those socks out there.
So you tell me. I mean, it was just a disastrously awful season. Season where you just tuned out, right?
Yeah,
it was an awful
it's just
season.
An incredibly forgettable season.
But it's in a blameless kind of a way.
Yeah, no, I'm
normally awful seasons, you're worked up about something, right?
Yeah, this felt way more circumstantial.
It just felt circumstantial. And we know, or at least believe, that next year will be better.
I mean, I think that's the key, is the fact that, all right, it's a lost season. It sucks. You chalk it up, but it's like you move on to next year.
And so you just look for the good stuff. You just say, all right, so, like, what's the... Like, there have been bad seasons where the good stuff has been better. Like, for example, the Grizzlies missed the playoffs Ja's first year. But the good stuff was Ja being sensational. That's better, right?
Yeah.
The Grizzlies were woeful in their first year. But Powell winning Rookie of the Year and
Shane being all rookie as well.
Yeah, and Shane being, like, that's better than the good stuff that came out of this.
Right, you felt like you hit on your draft picks,
right.
Yeah.
The year that Lionel took over, was the first year of Lionel after Lionel took over? They missed, but they looked good.
It was mainly because of the start of the season. But
yeah, but they discovered things.
Right.
That was here, the good stuff was only at the margin. But it only had to be at the margin, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the good stuff, what would you say is the number one best thing that happened this year?
Honestly, I really felt like Brandon Clark coming back.
Is the number one?
I mean, I think that's pretty significant.
I think the contestants would be Vince Williams Jr.
Yeah, but I mean...
And it's funny. Like, which is better news for the Grizzlies? going forward. If you could have only had one of these, Vince Williams Jr. becoming what he became or Gigi Jackson becoming what he became, which would you take? It's hard. And it's hard because there's recency bias with Gigi.
For sure.
And the ceiling's so much higher with Gigi. But Vince feels more important to them next year, like, becoming what they might become next year.
It feels like if you're projecting who's going to be on the floor the most next year, Vince Williams feels like he's going to be on the floor the most of those two.
Yeah, okay, let me ask you this, though. If the Grizzlies were told today that one of those players was going to be abducted by little green men.
All right.
Just disappear. Into bliss, though. We don't want to wish ill on them. Right. They're just going to be into nirvana.
Okay.
Right? Who would they want to be? Who would they elect to keep?
My gut is they would elect to keep Vince.
You think Vince is more important to this team than Gigi?
I think so, especially when you consider
because the immediacy, because of the next 2 years.
I think they know it's about the next 2 years. Like, I think if you're talking about a 5-year plan,
it's close though.
If it's a 5-year plan, then I think it's probably
Gigi. You got a potential all star.
Yeah. I mean, I am very fascinated. What does it look like next year if Gigi is like ninth in the rotation?
Well, and we've established this. Like, Gigi will be behind, we're going to presume, Brandon Clark. I mean, I'm just Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson, Ja, Dez.
Yep.
He will be because I think there will be another center, right? Another center.
Seems likely that there's another
We'll say Marcus Smart. So those are the five. We'll say those five.
Okay.
So at the best, and then he's going to be behind Vince. That's six. Another big. That's seven. Luke Kennard. If Luke's on the roster.
Right.
That's eight. So he's at best, ninth man next year.
Right.
Going into next year. Right? And then the Grizzlies are going to have if their lottery pick is not a big, Gigi will be ahead of that lottery pick. I don't care who it is.
I think that's likely.
If it's a wing, if it's a Reed Shepherd or whatever. But that player could be playing some point guard, right?
Sure.
Gigi at best is going to, and we haven't talked about Santi yet.
Yes.
So
I mean, that's a big question.
So then you've got Santi and Gigi as your ninth and tenth in the rotation, and then they'll do some things. There will be deals. There will be deals. And then you've got Laravia, who is not irrelevant anymore, but he's at best 11th man.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard to say. Best news, Vince Williams' emergence, Gigi Jackson's emergence, Brandon Clark's return, Jaren Jackson's offensive advancement, And we sort of forget about Desmond Bane's offensive exploits, too, because that's a little recency stuff, too. But I'd include that. I think those are the five best things. And then those don't include Jake Laravia. Those don't include, these are much to a lesser extent, Jake Laravia and Scottie Pippen Jr. But of those, what's the best thing that happened to the Grizzlies this year? Vince Williams, Gigi Jackson, Brandon Clark's return, or Jaren Jackson's offensive.
I'm still going with Brandon Clark's return because if you're projecting into next season, he feels like the guy that's going to play the most of all those things that we're talking about.
It is interesting.
Because the one thing I would say with Jaren, with your Jaren development, like we saw as soon as Ja gets back on the floor, like
an argument against Brandon Clark's return is the answer is that you should have expected his return. I expected him to be basically full strength, not necessarily this soon, but I expected by next year, Jaren Jackson, whereas Vince Williams and Gigi Jackson, surprises.
Yeah, to me, it's still, even though we've gotten better with Achilles injuries, they're still kind of in the back of your head. It's like, all right, what is a guy who's
Let's fire up a Jeff Calkins show poll.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. And this is not a big controversial one, but I'm interested. What's the best thing... Don't say thing, because then people say that it's over. We're going to get a lot of that.
Development. What's the best development?
What's the best development in the Grizz of this Grizz season? Or maybe you should say best development of this Grizz season, depending on how many letters you have. Question mark. One, Vince Williams. Make him one. Don't put GG one. That's influence in the crowd. One, Vince Williams Jr. Two, Gigi Jackson. 3, Brandon's return. 4, Jaren's offense. That's it. Those four. And we're leaving out, sadly, Jake LaRavia, Scottie Pippen. We're leaving out, which could be the best of all. No off-court shenanigans from Ja.
I mean, Ja not in the blogs?
Ja not in the blogs.
One more time. So Vince Williams.
Best development in Grizz season. 1, Vince Williams Jr. 2, Gigi Jackson. 3, Brandon's return. 4, Jaren's offense. My own personal prediction is Gigi is going to win this in a landslide.
He is definitely the online darling.
He is the online darling. Yeah, I think Gigi is going to win this in a landslide, partly because he's so cute. No, just because he has such a high ceiling. People, of course, fall in love with stardom. And he just had a career high 44 yesterday, you know, and he did what he did against the Lakers. So there's some recency there too. Here's, if you want to know, honestly, the two best developments this year might well have been Ja being out of the blogs and the city and county finding the money for the stadium.
For sure.
Honestly, there's not a new lease yet, right? But from where we started the year to where we are right now, literally the best news might be finding $550 million for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, no, I mean, we are at a point now where I don't know how scared or scary it got, but like
it got
now,
fractious anyway.
Now you're at the point where you're like, all right, this is going to get done.
Yeah. And it was it may or may not have been scary, but it was certainly conflict driven. So is the post? Are we up?
We are live, Jeff.
We are up.
So
okay.
I said, Jeff Calkins show poll. What was the best development of the Grizzlies season? Option 1, Vince Williams Jr. Option 2, Gigi Jackson. 3 is Brandon Clark's return. 4 is Jaren Jackson's offense.
Yes. All right. And I do think. I think there's two others that are massive, and one is Ja out of the headlines, and financing for FedEx for him.
A relatively quiet Ja season off the floor.
A relatively quiet Ja season off the floor. Ja's victory in court, of course.
I mean, many are saying that's starting the summer of Ja.
that was big too, and so there you go. We will. Originally, you honestly can make the case for any of these. This is a tough poll. We don't make easy polls.
Why would we do easy polls? We're asking the tough questions.
This is the show where we ask the hard, where we ask the hard questions. But TK is voting Gigi. And I think Gigi's going to win.
That would be my suspicion as well.
Gigi's going to win. Second will be Brandon Clark's return. This is my prediction. Third will be Vince Williams Jr. And fourth will be Jaren's offense.
You could maybe talk me into Vince being second.
I can argue that too. All right. In terms of today, starting in about half an hour, we will be hearing from the Grizzlies. And starting usually starts with Zach Kleiman. What is interesting?
So I've been thinking about this as well. Is the question that I have is there anything we could hear today that is like within the realm of possibility that is actually going to change how we feel? Because most of the stuff that is interesting to me, I don't think they can really answer because number one, we haven't had the draft lottery. So we don't even really know, we know where they finish, but we don't really know where they're going to be in the lottery. Do I suspect that they're going to tip their hand on a plan with Luke Kennard? No. Do I suspect that they're going to tip their hand on what they're going to do with certain players? Not really, so it kind of feels uneventful to me.
It's last year was maybe, the most newsworthy Monday after a season or day after the season was the season when they had this whole thing and then everyone got fired.
Correct.
Last year's was pretty damn newsworthy because it was totally clear afterwards.
Dylan Brooks was not coming back.
That Dylan Brooks was not coming back, both from was Zach Kleiman then said, but then particularly for what Dylan Brooks was like burning the bridges behind him. And so it was funny because it was several weeks later when Shams' report come back said the Grizzlies don't want him back under any circumstances. Literally anyone who'd paid any attention that first day knew that he was not coming back under any circumstances. Yep. So last night, and then we had Ja. We had Ja, like, Ja had this incredibly tumultuous season, and so Ja promised to stay out of the news, and then, of course, very shortly thereafter, he was right back in the news. We had the second gun incident. So last year was, and plus, basically, they talked about, they talked about how they, you know, it was actions, not words. Like, there was all that stuff.
Well,
there was a lot of tough talk. They were coming off an embarrassing series last year.
And Kleiman said, like, hand up. I should not have doubled, tripled down it was on you. Like, he's like, that
but
was
But you're
dumb.
Exactly right. Today, in terms of, like, in terms of news going forward, what are the questions for the Grizzlies? One is Luke Kennard going to be a part of this,
yeah,
right? I think that is one of the big questions. Two is, what are they going to do with all these wings? Like, are they going to will Jake LaRavia, as good as he's been recently, will he be a part of this? Will Zaire Williams be shipped off somewhere? Like, what is going to happen with all these wings? And then the other one is, what the biggest question really for the offseason is, what are they going to do about bigs, right? Are they going to add another big? Now, the answer to that, I think, has to be yes. I don't care what they say. It may not be the rookie big, it may not be a four, it may not be a five. They will have another player to add to the mix. We just don't know how it will be. They won't identify him. None of those questions are questions they can or will answer, as you point out.
Right.
They don't even know the answers.
I don't even think they're being, like,
they're not even coy. They don't know the answers. They might know the answer to Luke Kennard, but then they might know a range of possibilities around Luke Kennard. But they certainly don't know the answers about how they're going to find their big or what kind of big they're going to find, because maybe if they finish third in the lottery, well, then they feel pretty comfortable, or second in the lottery or first in the lottery, that if they wanted Donovan Clingan, they could have him.
Absolutely.
But if they slide down and finish eighth or ninth in the lottery, I think they can pretty confident that Donovan Clingan's not going to be there.
Right, and does that mean that you don't end up, you trade down? Like, does right. like, yeah. what does that mean?
I don't,
like,
think they know the answer. So therefore, what else is interesting? I think hearing from Ja for the first time in forever, since the injury, like, just hearing from him.
I actually think, like, the physical health of Ja is interesting.
Physical health of Ja, mental, whatever he can show, you know, whatever.
Well, like, when can he start to do basketball again?
I think... And then I think beyond that, some update on injuries. Like, how's Marcus? These players.
Desmond's back.
I asked the question. Yeah, that's a good one. I asked the question last week to Chris, which of these players would have been playing in a playoff if they were in the playoffs?
Yes.
Right? And we don't know the answer to that. We know Ja wouldn't have been.
Right.
But would Desmond Bane have been playing?
I don't know.
Would.
I think Jaren would have.
We know Jaren would have. We know Brandon Clark would have. Would Marcus Smart have been playing?
Like, I think Marcus probably would have been.
And so, but
like Vince, I don't know.
Vince, what the hell is up with there? You know? So, now mind you, we've gotten some vague stuff on injuries before. Zaire Williams, you know?
I don't think Zaire and Derek would have played, but, like, I don't know. Like, was.
But, like, last year they were talking about Zaire has his, you know, whatever else. And Zaire still had more injury problems this year. You know, like, whatever. So I don't think it is going to be. I don't expect it to be. You never know.
Sure. I mean, that's the reason why everyone goes.
That's the reason why you go and you hear, you know, we won't hear from these folks for a while. So it'll be interesting to see.
But my suspicion is it is a fairly uneventful day.
You would think.
That would at least be my prediction.
The two who I'm most interested to hear from are Kleiman, because he's the decision maker, and so just anything he says is news.
Yeah.
And Ja.
I think so, yeah.
But then also, I'm interested to hear from Dez and Marcus about their injuries, and Vince.
I mean, I guess with Jaren, is there a question of, like, hey, are you going for the Olympic team?
Yeah, there's that. By the way, I think the flame is lit today. The flame, you know how they light it
in
Greece,
Athens,
and then they I may be making that up, but right about now the flame. So get ready, ladies and gentlemen, get ready for that. All right, we are going to take a break. We've got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We do have plenty more to talk about. If you are one of these folks who struggle with gambling. And we've learned over the last couple weeks that there's very high-profile people who do struggle with gambling. I recommend you contact the folks at the gambling clinic. I happen to know a bunch of these the folks personally, and they're really good people. And the gambling clinic is not anti-gambling, but they understand that about 5% of the people who do gamble are going to struggle. And so if it's you or someone you love, don't let it ruin your life, you know. And if it's already ruining your life, stop it. Figure a way out. Take a step to help yourself or to help someone you love. At the gambling clinic, they set up 10 to 12 individual appointments with experts in gambling addiction, totally confidential, and help you get your life back on the right path. It is the gambling clinic, thegamblingclinic.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Gabby.
Hey, Gabby. It's Jennifer Coolidge. Hi. I'm so glad I reached you at 2 a.m.
Oh, of course. Anyone with a Discover card can call and talk to a real person 24/7. Now, how can I help?
Yeah, I used my Discover card to buy these yellow pleather pajamas, and I'm just not sure I'm pulling them off.
24/7 U.S.-based customer service. It pays to Discover. Limitations apply. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard.
As a roofer, spring means the start of my busy season, which means I've got to get organized with help from Beacon. I can save time with Beacon Pro Plus and 24/7 access to live pricing, delivery tracking, order history, and more. Plus, this spring, I can earn $1,000 and the chance to win a $25,000 backyard renovation just by buying my CertainTeed shingles online with Beacon. No purchase necessary. Now that's what I call a spring cleanup. Visit BECN.com for official rules and to start earning entries.
The NBA play-in tournament gives teams the chance to play their way into the postseason, of course, so it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You want to go three-pointers made during a game, over-under point totals, first basket score, you can do it all, and more. Just go to FanDuel.com/JSmith to get started. Again, place a $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, even if you lose the bet, to use during the NBA playoffs. It's awesome. It's only on FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA, and a 929 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. That's 1-800-889-9789.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be a sign that your digestive system isn't working at its best? Taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil fiber powders help promote your daily digestive health using a plant-based fiber called psyllium. The gelling action of this special fiber traps and removes waste so you can feel lighter and more energetic. Metamucil, promoting digestive health for a better you. Learn more at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Posters, flyers, signs, and menus for less? Think Staples. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. Now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Same day service available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. And all backed by Staples' Print Perfect Guarantee. So it's done right or it's printed again free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. N61, visit staples.com/print for details.
Your window into affordable luxury is Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis.
At Pella, we offer quality replacement windows at any budget.
I can't believe the price of my new windows. They were so affordable.
If I knew I could afford windows and doors as gorgeous as these, I would have chosen Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis years ago.
Right now, save 25% on your entire project or get 50% off installation.
The highest quality, the greatest value.
Choose Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis, your window into affordable luxury.
Hey, hey, Mid-South! Discover your new ride at Gossett Kia on the Pike. You want it? We got it with 2024 Kia Forte LXS. 41 MPG Highway, $199 a month, $34.99 due at signing. How about 2023 Kia EV6 Wind, rear-wheel drive, $249 a month. Plus, Gossett Kia's got 2024 Telluride LX front-wheel drive, $369 a month. Both $39.99 due at signing, all 24 months. Lease. And you'll always find peace of mind with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. So stop what you're doing and call Bobby J, because he's ready to put you in a new Kia today. That's Gossett Kia, 1900 Covington Pike, online, KiaCovingtonPike.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
All 650 acquisition fee, 30,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, Forte RE756120, MSRP 22320, EV6 P560-3393, MSRP 50,200, Telluride RG5 1041, MSRP 37935, includes all rebates and incentives, must finance through Hyundai, excludes tax, title, and license. See dealer for complete details, offer valid through 4/30/2024, dealer stock only.
At Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, it's time to define luxury in a new way. At every turn, you'll find audacious design, state-of-the-art technology, and exceptional hospitality. We are dedicated to crafting the world's best vehicles, matched by an extraordinary sales-to-service experience for our owners. Prepare to be noticed in the 2023 Genesis G70. This sporty sedan is a force to be seen. We'd love you to explore the 2023 Genesis GV70 with a class-leading 300-horsepower engine or the available 375-horsepower twin-turbo V6 for terrains from concrete jungles to mountain roads. It's a new beginning for a new generation. Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, 1870 Covington Pike, or visit us online at memphisgenesis.com. Estimated horsepower based on premium fuel ratings. Use of regular fuel will result in reduced horsepower. See dealer for complete details. Dealer stock only.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I was in Oak Hall just last week. And, my God, the stuff is absolutely beautiful. I've shown Christy, who works here, around. And when you see it, like, through someone else's eyes for the first time, they have a whole Peter Millar shop and a Faraday shop. It is a store that just not many like that exist anymore in the country. You walk in now, too. It's just loaded with spring and summer stuff. Swimwear from Johnny O is right there when you walk in. To the left, they've got these. Cricket has these shirts. They got pickleball shirts. They got shirts with a little pickle and a little racket. Cricket does sort of fun 19th hole kind of stuff. But so it's spring, ladies and gentlemen. Summer is on the way. The Masters are now behind us. It is time. So wherever you're headed, I went to a wedding this past weekend. Wore my sport coat from Oak Hall. Whatever you're headed to, backyard barbecues, graduation ceremonies, whatever it is, this would be the time to spruce up your spring and summer wardrobe by going to visit the fabulous folks at Oak Hall. All right, Jeffrey, the Grizzlies are not, sadly, in the playoff picture this year. What's our poll? What's our poll, by the way? We have a poll up. What's the best development of the Grizzlies season? John Martin has always texted me and said it's over. We already said that, John.
Right.
We already made that joke. It's why we didn't say best thing about the season is that it's over. There were positive developments. And as I pointed out, I think the two that we have left out of the poll are the financing for the arena, $550 million being and jobs staying out of the headlines.
Yes.
But of the choices, the four things, the best development in this Grizzlies season, we've got Gigi Jackson, we've got Vince Williams Jr., we've got Brandon Clark's return, and we've got Jaren's offense. And what's the current What's the current status of the poll?
Jeff, as you suspected, Gigi Jackson is running away with it right now. 59.8% of the vote. The second option is Vince Williams Jr. at 30% of the vote.
Isn't that amazing?
6.3% say Brandon Clark's return. 3.1% say Jaren Jackson's offense.
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't know that that's true in terms of next year. Who will play more minutes next year?
My suspicion is
Vince Williams Jr.
Vince
Don't
Williams.
You think he'll play more minutes?
That would be my bet.
Injury will play into it.
Absolutely. What is, I mean,
not just whether either of them get injured, but what happens around them. Like
sure.
what is needed, right? If you so there you go. All right. Turning to the rest of the playoffs, Grizzlies are not in it, but it does shape up to be a really interesting playoff season. So here's how the schedule goes. Now, you've got the tomorrow night, you've got the play-in game between the Western Conference play-in game. So you've got the Pelicans at 7 and the Lakers at 8. That's at 6:30. And then you've got the Kings at 9 and Golden State at 10. What would be ideal? Like for the viewing public, Jeffrey, what would be ideal? It would be for the Lakers to beat the Pelicans, so they then would play Denver. And then for Golden State to beat the Kings,
and then to beat the Pelicans.
Yep. Yes. Obviously the NBA would like the Lakers and Golden State to be in there. It seems unlikely that will happen, though. Pelicans got two bites at the apple.
The
right?
only path is the path that we just laid out.
Yeah, they've got to beat
the Lakers.
The Kings
have to win,
and then
right.
Yeah, the Lakers have to beat the Pelicans, and then Golden State has to beat the Kings, and then the Pelicans.
Both on the road,
and that seems unlikely.
Yep.
Grizzlies, by the way, had they not made the Marcus Smart deal, would have the Golden State draft pick. And so there you go. It is one of the interesting questions is, so the Lakers, if they beat the Pelicans, they will then clinch.
They're the 7th seed no matter what.
Right. And they will then play the 2, and the 2 is Denver.
Correct.
Because Denver somehow incredibly lost to San Antonio.
Still have no idea.
Denver should be the 1.
Yes.
They lost to San Antonio Friday.
Well, they had the 5-second call. Or
right.
But, I mean, still, you shouldn't even have. It shouldn't have been there.
Yeah. But because you are 2, it is interesting. If the Lakers beat the Pelicans, they're going to play Denver.
Yeah.
And they're going to, it's going to be a rematch of last year's Western Conference Finals, and they're going to lose.
Yes.
So the question is, should the Lakers tank against the Pelicans so they can get into then they can play the winner of the Kings Golden State game, win that game, and then they went that way. They get to play. They would go in as the 8, and they get to play Oklahoma City. And Oklahoma City, as great as they've been as the 1 seed, Oklahoma City, young, so therefore maybe vulnerable to the pressures of playoff basketball.
Yeah, it just feels like, man, that's just such a risk considering it's a 1 game. This is not a, you know, if you're playing a series, okay, I can see maybe trying to angle like, hey, we'd rather play the Thunder, but that ship sailed.
I think that's right. There's no way you can do that. Absolutely no way you can do that. And so it then leaves us, in addition, we then have Minnesota versus Phoenix.
Right.
And the Clippers versus Dallas.
Two
tremendous series.
Yes. I mean, the Mavericks, there's a legitimate case the Mavericks have been playing the best basketball in the entire West.
Right.
For like the last 2
health
months.
Is always a question with the Clippers.
Sure.
And so you've got Minnesota and Phoenix, and you've got the Clippers and Dallas. So you've got those two tremendous series. Then you could have, and likely would be Oklahoma City versus the Lakers and
Nuggets Pelicans.
I mean, and then Nuggets Pelicans.
Yeah.
That seems likely, right? That seems most, if you were going to predict how this might go, Nuggets Pelicans. And Denver, I don't think is, here's the thing. Denver, you can't explain how they lost that game to San Antonio, but I don't think they care.
No, I really
get
think
the Pelicans. Is that going to scare them? You going to go whatever? They're not.
We talked about it last week.
Lose like a first round series.
Denver could have easily kind of manipulated their way into, like manipulated their way into avoiding teams, and it just felt like that was not an issue to them.
Meanwhile, in the East, which is, let's be honest, much less interesting.
Well, I mean, the big question is, are we just, is this just a Boston we'll see in the finals?
It's just Boston. Like,
is there going to be a credible threat?
Right. So you've got there, you've got the Sixers, the seventh seed versus the Heat on Wednesday. One of those teams
will advance to play the Knicks.
Will be the seven and will advance to play the Knicks. Right. And then the loser of that will get the listen, the Bulls versus Hawks just feels like,
I mean,
whatever.
We're talking about two teams that didn't win four games.
And so if you've got the Sixers at seven and the Heat at eight, let's just say, then it would be Boston versus the Heat. And the Heat do have a history of beating the hell out of Boston.
I mean, there's just, you know, it's the ultimate, like, Heat culture. It's like,
right. That would, if Boston somehow choked that one away.
Well, then, I mean, Missoula would be fired. I mean,
you've got the Knicks. Good for you. You advance to the second seed. And your reward is going to be Joel Embiid?
Correct.
It feels
a diminished
likely.
Joel
yes,
Embiid.
Yes, but still feels likely. Feels like the one, maybe the most credible threat to Boston that exists is going to be playing New York, or might well be playing New York. And then the series that we know, Milwaukee versus Indiana. Milwaukee has struggled with Indiana, and Indiana will score a ton of points. That's actually could be a fun series.
Well, I mean, then there's just the Giannis question.
And the Giannis' health. And then we've got Cleveland with Orlando. It felt like, honestly, so Cleveland could have sewn up the second seed.
Right.
They didn't play their players.
No. Like, they rested.
And what's fascinating about this is that Cleveland then drops into a 4-5 seed, a 4-5 game series against Orlando, which is great because you'd rather play Orlando,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
If you're Cleveland, after the ignominious way you went out last year, you'd rather play Orlando. And so the problem with that is if you're in that 4-5 game, you've got Boston next.
Yeah. But it was almost like they're just like, we just want to win a playoff series.
I think they literally were tanking so they could win one playoff series. Is what it felt like, which is pretty embarrassing, right?
I mean, it's a tough scene, but hey, you know, it's a business for everybody. Want some home games?
Which is pretty embarrassing. Anyway, it has been. I mean, it's interesting to see because it's been such a woeful season for the Grizzlies. It's been a really interesting season in the NBA. You know, you've got fading Golden State, you've got fading Lakers, you've got Wemby's emergence, you've got incredible parity throughout. You've got the Knicks being kind of relevant again, and although it doesn't help that Julius Randle's got hurt. I mean, it hurt. In the West, you tell me which team, obviously Denver is the favorite, but you can imagine Oklahoma City being in the NBA Finals. You can imagine Denver being in the NBA Finals. You can imagine Dallas being in the NBA Finals. You can imagine the Clippers being in the NBA Finals.
I can imagine the
Suns
with Durant.
You can imagine the Suns being in the NBA Finals, and you can imagine Minnesota, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Minnesota, like, you need Towns to be healthy.
And that's not even including, like, the Lakers, Golden, whatever. Like, it is the West is tremendous. The West is tremendous. And so that was a lot of fun. You know, listen, I lament that we are not going to have playoff basketball here in Memphis, but we've known it for so long. You know,
well,
it's not exactly a sudden realization.
I mean, the thing that's interesting to me is, like, in the West, it really is, like, who's going to come out of this? Like, I do actually find myself competitively interested in the West. In the East, it's like, is there a serious, credible threat to Boston?
No, it doesn't feel like anyone is a serious, credible threat to Boston. But it feels like... It feels like you could have a very interesting NBA Finals.
Sure.
Whether it's like Denver and Boston would be interesting. Dallas and Boston would be interesting. There'd be lots of interesting NBA Finals. And if Boston, the one thing about Boston is we've never seen them do it. Like
sure.
Are they going to choke on themselves again? You know, like, it doesn't feel like it. It feels like
Is
this year different? And so even though they feel inevitable, given their history, with Boston, nothing feels inevitable. So should shape up as a interesting play. And Jarvis has chimed in, by the way.
Okay.
He believes in Gigi. What's our current poll? Gigi running away with it. Gigi is a budding star. Vince is a stable defense offense player who is steady. Do you take Steph Curry or B.J. Tucker? I don't think there's any question. If you were starting an expansion team and didn't have any players on your team.
Right, and you were betting on
you
the
could
future.
Have a choice of, like, do I have Vince Williams Jr. or Gigi Jackson? You would take him a million times over.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But I would ask this question. Who is going to play more minutes next year?
And that's, to me, that's...
And I think Vince Williams Jr. will play more minutes. I'm not saying he is more valuable, more talented, any of that. I'm just saying, if you look at it through another prism, and the prism would be the next 2 years matter desperately to the Grizzlies. Who is going to play more minutes next year?
In particular, I think next year matters.
Vince Williams Jr. is going to play more minutes next year than Gigi Jackson.
Well, I mean, you have to think about it this way. Next year is a pivotal year because you only have all the three guys under contract for the next two. If next year gets off the rails, God forbid, like you might have to make a decision in the offseason.
Yeah, but probably not. Because probably you'd say, we'll run it back, and then we could make a decision at the trade deadline. So you really, I think you've got two more years to figure this out. But
I mean, like the other thing, though, is like I know we kept talking about when you really look at like where the play-in winners are, so 46 games is the low end. Like even if the Grizzlies not had Ja get hurt, like they probably were not even going to get remotely close.
No, in retrospect.
Like because of the start. That first 25 games was so bad.
You should have locked in the 12 and whatever I was offering.
No, I think you even offered, yeah. No, there's no question.
She should have locked that in.
I think it was 11 and 14.
That wouldn't have mattered either, though,
no.
Like in the end. It is interesting because it's hard to remember this. When Ja made his return, and then what did they do? Win four games in a row after that? I think four in a row?
So I think they went 5-3 in those games.
Something like that. When Ja made his return, there was a real sense, and we all may have put this out of our mind, there was a real sense, may have been exuberant, may have been over our skis, that, hey, they could make a run for this.
Absolutely. That was the vibe.
We believed that briefly, and we believed that really until then they came down to earth and then Ja gets hurt again.
Right.
And then that was that. So there was a brief
and
period.
And then, like, literally the next game,
if you look at it, they probably wouldn't have made it. They almost certainly wouldn't have made it anyway.
I mean, they would have basically had to win at, like, a 70% clip.
They wouldn't have made it anyway. So fascinating stuff going on. We can dig into the draft now. We can think about who might be available, what they might do. That'll be fun. We're going to have the draft lottery coming up. Oh, and by the way, Jeffrey, speaking of draft, tonight, WNBA draft. Caitlin Clark.
Who do you think is going to go one?
I'm just going to, I don't normally predict things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be kind of stunned if Caitlin Clark doesn't go in the lottery.
I think so would... So would everyone that's involved in WNBA TV because
they have scheduled her for what?
So last year the Indiana Thunder had one national
Fever.
One national TV game. This year they are scheduled for 40.
They're riding the.
I'm sorry, 36 out of 40.
They're riding 36 the Caitlin out of Clark 40. Train. Caitlin Clark will be the number one pick in the WNBA draft tonight, of course. That goes without saying. She appeared on Saturday Night Live Saturday, and it was funny. Did you watch it?
Sounds like got rave reviews.
It was great. Well, first of all, she's introduced, and she gets like a 20-second ovation, so that was great. And it was all about the jokes that they have told at the expense of women's basketball,
mm-hmm.
and she gave it right back. She was really good. I mean, honestly... She had a gracious moment when she thanked all the great players who have come before. She said, and who have enabled her to walk through this door. And so it'll be interesting to see how much of obviously the TV execs are betting that.
I mean, to me, the big question
her
is,
fame will continue.
Is she going to do to the WNBA what Tiger did to golf? Like this rocket ship,
First of all, she has to be that good.
I mean, that's a huge, I mean, that's a, the other part of the Tiger story is not just, oh, this looks like something we haven't seen before. It's the fact that he was.
And people keep talking about
dominant.
It, and I can't speak to this because I don't know enough about women's basketball. Hand up. People talk about, well, things are going to be different for her when she gets to the WNBA, right?
Well, I mean, people have been saying that for like,
Will she not be a star in the WNBA? It seems to me when you can drop them in from 36 feet, that's a pretty effective weapon in college basketball or in pro basketball.
I mean, I suppose the argument would be when you have better defenses like they will have, that you can neutralize her value.
Yeah, she reminds me in some ways, maybe this is, of Trae Young. People wondered whether the Trae Young show would translate, you know what I mean? And honestly, it hasn't in terms of winning. But Trae Young...
He still scores.
I mean, what does he do? He can bomb it in from forever, yep. And he's got a great feel for the game. He can he sees the floor. I'm not saying she's, you know... She won at a much higher level in college than Trae Young did at college.
Absolutely.
And so I'm not saying... I'm not. She's probably more of a winner, whatever that means, than Trae Young. I don't see how it doesn't translate. But I I'm not steeped enough in women's basketball to know why it might or might not translate. Anyway, we got Chris Harrington coming up straight up at 10 o'clock. The Grizzlies end of season press conferences begin here momentarily, and we will be following along, and we will break in with whatever, if there is any big news that emerges from that. But we're going to come back. We're going to talk to Chris Harrington, and then we will start to break down what is said exactly at the Grizzlies press event. Plus, the Tigers made news over the weekend. We got that to talk about. Kentucky introduced their new basketball coach. I will tell you this. Won the press conference.
Banner season, baby.
Won the press conference. People say, that guy's not going to win the press conference. Oh, no. He definitely won at least one thing. He did win the press conference. And we'll talk about that all in the second hour as well. NBA play-in tournament gives chance to win their way into the postseason, so it only seemed right for the folks at FanDuel that new customers could play their way into $150. See how that works? A play-in tournament. And over at FanDuel, you can play your way into $150. All you have to do is place a $5 bet. Place any $5 bet, and you will get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. All you got to do is go to FanDuel.com/Calkins to get started. FanDuel.com/Calkins to get started. You can bet on those play-in games. You can tell me, do you like the Lakers over the Pelicans? Go ahead. And bet on all the NBA playoffs with $150 in bonus bets. FanDuel is, of course, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older in present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is...
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.